And the Supreme Court justices may be at their desks, but much of the government remains shut down. Now it's in its seventh day, that shutdown. Ripple effects are spreading throughout the economy. And to talk about how much the overall economy is at risk, we turn now to David Wessel. He's economics editor of the Wall Street Journal. Good morning.
Good morning, Renee.
This shutdown is obviously an inconvenience, financially painful for many. But how much serious harm is being done to the U.S. economy?
Well, it's a good question. Think of this as concentric circles. At the center, of course, are these federal employees, many of whom have been told not to work, all of whom have now been told they will be paid someday, but not now. Then there are the private sector employees in the next ring who depend on the government being open. My colleagues at the Wall Street Journal talked to a guy who owns a bus company called Bailey Coach in York, Pennsylvania. It runs 11 buses to places like Gettysburg and the Liberty Bell. And he says when tour groups cancel because they can't get into these sites, the drivers don't get paid. He had to give $10,000 worth of refunds over the weekend. And then beyond that, there are people who rely on government services that are suspended. Some Head Start programs are closed. Some business loan programs aren't taking applications. Farmers say they can't get the price data that the government usually gives them to help manage their businesses. Now, all the individuals are clearly hurt economically, but if you add it all up, the U.S. economy is so big that this probably isn't a huge effect, these direct effects, maybe 0.3 percentage point off the growth rate in the fourth quarter of this year.
Well, then, does that add up to we don't have much to worry about?
Well, we don't have much to worry about from the direct effects of the shutdown unless it's prolonged. Some of the harm to the economy will be offset when the government reopens, as it surely will. But it's really more complicated than that. There are other ways this puts the economy at risk. Gallup takes a daily survey of consumers, and it's found a sharp plunge in confidence to the lowest level in nearly 2 years among consumers. And that clearly is bad for the economy. And of course, this isn't happening in isolation. There's this growing angst about the need to raise the federal debt ceiling. The Treasury says it will run out of cash sometime later this month. It won't be able to pay all the government's bills unless Congress lifts the ceiling on federal debt. And everybody says, well, they'll probably do it, but they can't be sure. So that's another kind of big worry cloud over the economy.
And David, can we look to the past for where we might be going here?
Well, we always do, of course. There was a 3-week shutdown in the mid-90s. The damage then was bad short term, but was really offset by a rebound afterwards. I'm not sure the parallels really work. At that time, Bill Clinton and Newt Gingrich, the House Speaker, seemed to be able to negotiate. Raising the debt ceiling wasn't much of an issue, and it wasn't preceded by these across-the-board spending cuts, the sequester. 2 years ago may be a better parallel. In August 2011, Congress took it right to the brink before they raised the debt ceiling. They did. But the anxiety over it took a real chunk out of the economy just at a time that the recovery was beginning to get some momentum. And I think that actually did have long-lasting effects.
David, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
David Wessel is economics editor of The Wall Street Journal.